Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Tonight at 6 o'clock, it is the Major League Baseball trade deadline. Baseball tonight going to have their trade deadline special this evening or afternoon at 4 o'clock, if you will. Kylie McDaniel from Baseball Tonight and ESPN joining us right now to talk about that on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. Kylie, thanks for the time on what's a busy day for you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Well, let's talk first and foremost about the moves that Alex Anthopoulos has made. Your thoughts on those first and to begin the conversation.
Yeah, I think it's in keeping with obviously what happened last season and making a lot of smaller moves and it working out really well. I think it probably was not going to be the season where they got the farm system completely, which is already, you know, bottom five, and make some smaller moves around the edges and sort of fill in what I, you know, think is already probably a playoff team. So I think that seems like the road they're going down this year.
Yeah, it seems like the same thing that they did last year they're going to do this year, expiring contracts and guys that have had moments and you hope they get hot at the right time again.
Yeah, I think, you know, extending Olsen, extending Riley, and then, you know, filling in the rest of the, you know, bullpen and bench and things like that. Like, it gives you some certainty of what this team's going to look like for a couple of seasons. And those guys that are the questions the next couple of years would, you know, just be Dansby Swanson. There's not that many guys that you're not sure of the core that aren't going to be here a couple of years from now.
What's the word on the Riley deal in terms of how is it playing when you hear the numbers?
Yeah, I think it's one of those that's like pretty good for both sides. But usually when you do a long-term deal, that's the first big payout for a young player. It tends to be team friendly because obviously the player is incentivized to take a bit of a discount, especially I wouldn't say hometown, but definitely from Braves country. And I think it's also like probably the right time. I mean, he's obviously been sort of an all-star level player for like two full seasons now. So this would seem to be, I think, similar to Matt Olson. Like, if you're from here, you want to play here, you're a core player here, like, we'll back up the Brinks truck. We'll give you all the money you need. And you just give us a little discount because we're going way out to the future. And I think it played pretty well, both on the, you know, sort of union side and team side.
Yeah, one of the things that I think I do like about what the front office, the organization is doing, there doesn't seem to be a fat and happy about winning a World Series last year. If you look recently, the Mets going 15, don't win. The Royals, the Cubs, the Indians to some degree. The Washington Nationals, the fall off has been pretty incredible in the last 6 or 7 years. This sort of feels like, yeah, you're not immune to it, but we're not setting ourselves up for that either.
Yeah, and I think it's important to note, too, that when Anthopoulos first got there, they had, you know, one of the top five farm systems in baseball and could afford to not make trades for JT Realmuto and Chris Sale and, like, all these kinds of guys because, like, they were letting all the players come up, kind of see what they have, like, no reason to, like, cut bait on all these guys right away. And obviously a bunch of really good players have come out of that group. And now the farm system is, you know, bottom five, and they proactively saw that that was an issue, went and traded for an extra draft pick, took a lot of high upside pitching, sort of an old school Braves move, and that could help sort of revitalize the farm system and give them the pieces to make another big deal. But they also don't really have the pieces after the Olsen trade to make another giant deal, so they had to make sort of smaller around the margin moves and then also work to build that farm system up for when that next time comes that they need to make a giant move, like hope that that's not a year or two from now or that it can happen quickly and that they're able to do it. Whereas right now, it's like if you take Harris and Strider and some of these guys that just came up, which also the farm system is not rated highly because those guys just graduated. So obviously you're, you know, producing players at a pretty strong rate. But, you know, the next wave that's coming, you want to have one of those guys in there. And now they might, because I really like what they did in the draft this year.
Kylie McDaniel from ESPN and Baseball Tonight. Their trade deadline special is this afternoon at 4 o'clock at Kylie MCD is where you can follow him on Twitter. Joining us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. You talk about the Braves farm system, looking through the rest of the National League East. How was it looking for teams like the Phillies and the Mets and the Nationals?
Well, so I have updated rankings now. We'll publish them after the trade deadline so that we can, sort of account for everything that's happening so far. But right now I have the Mets at third, which is they started the season at 18th. And part of the reason they're that high is because the highest ranked prospect in baseball, Francisco Alvarez, that accounts for like a third of their rating. So and he's in AAA. So once he gets called up, they'll fall back to, you know, somewhere around the middle of the pack. And then I have the Braves at 28th. Which again, if you threw in Strider and Harris, they'd be somewhere around the middle. So it's almost, you know, a bit of a problem that some of the guys have gotten there and done well. Philly at 22 and Miami is at 9, and then I guess the one I'm missing is Washington, and they are the 25th. They were actually down in 29th or 30th until they started making some trades. So, yeah, I would say the Mets and really Francisco Alvarez is the one sort of variable, other than the Marlins, of like in the division, where's all the sort of prospect content at? And it's mainly in those two places.
Yeah, and I guess I bring it up because let's see if the Mets are willing to move some of those top prospects by today at 6 o'clock to make one of those big splashes.
Yeah, it sounds like they are. The sort of latest stuff I've been hearing is that they didn't want to include Mark Vientos, who I think is maybe their sixth best prospect in a rental trade, because last year when they did that to grab Javi Baez down at the deadline, they traded Pete Carr Armstrong, who was currently out with a shoulder surgery. He's now like the 50th best prospect in baseball, and Javi Baez both left and wasn't that good while he was there. So, you know, I think they may have learned from let's not just do everything at all times and just turn it all the way up to 100 and spend whatever money and spend whatever prospects we need. I think they realized like, oh, this might not be super repeatable if we keep doing it this way. And so as far as I can tell, I mean, they basically like put a fence around their top like six or seven prospects. So, you know, that may limit what they can do. Obviously, like Juan Soto, I don't think was getting traded in division, but if that's how they're approaching their young talent, like he was never going to be available to them anyway.
So it's really hard with one day left because we don't know all the deals. But do you have you earmarked one that you think has the most potential impact for a run at a championship this year so far?
I think the package of all the things the Yankees did, because it is somewhat unusual for a team to have like, oh, three, maybe four things they need to address. And then they like aggressively address all of them before even deadline day and get all those pieces. And they didn't touch their, you know, top 10 prospects, maybe. Like they did a lot of effective work. And they, and again, going back to the draft, because that's kind of my thing. They had, I think it's five players drafted after the fourth round that were domestic pitchers. So basically just dudes that like most teams don't make much out of that they made into like frontline kind of assets. And they did the same thing with the Joey Gallo trade. Obviously hasn't worked out that well. Last year it was a bunch of guys that signed for less than $1 million in the draft. So I think, and you know, people have been saying this, but I think it's worth giving a thumbs up over to the Yankees domestic scouting staff. Cause I think the year before was a little more of their amateur staff on the international side, producing a bunch of players that ended up being the ammunition for trades. And now I think, you know, Brian Cashman like still has a top 10 farm system and just, you know, gutted it with a bunch of the depth guys that were created from this really good domestic scouting staff.
All right, real quick, the hater to the Padres. It's really interesting.
Yeah.
If people don't know, his wife had some complications. He leaves for a little bit. He had a longish break because the All-Star game, didn't go to the All-Star game, didn't pitch, probably wasn't doing his side work because he was dealing with family stuff. He's been a little bit better, I think, in his last one or two starts. Is that not on paper the possible most impactful wow type thing if all of a sudden this guy is Josh Hader and the Padres have a chance to close out games like that?
Yeah, I was actually texting with a friend with the Padres about the Soto rumors, and he was like, what would you do? And I was like, well, you know, I'd line up these like four or five players. And he was like, man, five players, that's so much. And then they did the Hader deal, and I was like, oh, that's probably a better idea. Like, it was like, you know, two big leaguers and then two prospects for a guy that's going to be there for two playoff runs and be maybe the most impactful guy, because obviously the way it works in the playoffs is the starting pitchers pitch less. The position players play the same they always do, and the relievers pitch more than they do. So, like, when you're getting Hader, you're getting him for two playoff runs, and, you know, obviously, like, the stretch run up to that. And he's probably the most impactful reliever there is. And I think, you know, now there have been rumors for years that Milwaukee was going to move him just because they needed to beef up the rest of their team. And now they do it with, like, a year and change left. So they kind of held on to him, got the most out of him they could. And now they have Devin Williams that can take that spot and be the closer. So, yeah, I think if it goes the way it could, like, you could totally see Hader coming in, pitching, you know, two innings and, you know, four out of the seven games and winning a playoff series. Like, that guy might be the biggest difference maker short of Juan Soto that was on the market. And obviously didn't cost anywhere near as much.
Now, finishing up with Kylie McDaniel, baseball tonight. Their trade deadline special is today at 4 as he's with us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. Speaking of Juan Soto, do we see him in Dodger blue when all is said and done?
I think it's about 50-50 he gets dealt. The question is, was a mandate made that he needs to be traded, and so they just have to take what the best offer is, in which case he will be traded. And if it was, you know, we need to move him now or in the offseason, decide which one you think is better and see what kind of offers there are, and basically use the trade deadline to see if you can smoke out somebody that's going to wildly overpay. And in that case, I think it's unlikely he gets traded. We don't know which one of those two is real. But I think Dodgers, Cardinals, Padres, like it sounds like it's all NL, non-NL East teams that are in the mix there. Those seem like the three most likely. And so, you know, give all three of them 15-20% chance of pulling that off today.
Hey, last thing, is there going to be any changes coming up in the draft? We know about the international draft, what didn't happen Is there anything else coming? Because we've taken down a number of rounds. The ability to trade picks. Is there something on the horizon that maybe changes the draft for baseball?
So the sort of chatter behind the scenes was the international draft, if it came into play, which it did not, so it won't for another 4 or 5 years. But if it did, it would come with trading of picks, and that would be sort of the test case to find out if the teams like that process, and then that would open the door in the CBA after that to then have trading of picks domestically. So because the international draft got put off until the next CBA, which is another like 4 seasons away, and then the domestic draft trading of picks, I think, would come after that. I mean, we might be 10 years away from that happening, which is the guy that's on TV saying who the picks were. I would love if one element was, hey, some guy you've heard of in the big league is getting traded right now, because then more people would watch. But apparently they don't want that to happen for me.
All right, Kylie,
a little again, selfish on your part, but I understand it. Believe me, we're in this industry a little bit ourselves.
And interesting, and it makes it easier to explain to like my mom. Like, all right, the third best player in the draft is actually going first, but like the reason that's happening is because in the second round they're going to get a better player. It's like so hard to explain to somebody that doesn't follow it. Whereas if they're just trading a pick, the first guy goes first. Like it's very simple. It's like all the other drafts.
Well, listen, all of me admires. Sometimes you got to look out for number one, Kylie McDaniel. Again, looking forward to a crazy day, and you guys are going to be a part of the trade deadline special. The Baseball Tonight crew at 4 o'clock. Again, thanks for the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
A lifetime of hard work. Children laughing in the kitchen. Family photos on a restaurant wall. A legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation. Like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.